Thank you to Phil and to Nick for those readings. If you keep that chapter open in front of you, you'll find that helpful. I should say on financial support and giving today, some may have brought envelopes marked Hurley in response to an email that went out regarding their car that's blown up. If you put it in the bags along with the money for MAF, if it's in an envelope marked Hurley, it will go in the right direction. If you're still holding on to that envelope, you can put it into the collection box and we'll ensure that the collection box is cleared immediately at the end of our time together today and everything will go in the right direction. Today we are continuing our sermon series in Ephesians, but with a difference. Since it is Father's Day, my focus will be on verses 14 to 21, the second reading that Phil read for us, and in particular these two verses. This is why I stuck with the series for Father's Day. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. The title for today's talk is Power and Love. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you are the true and living God. You are all-powerful and you are loving beyond knowledge. By your Spirit and Word, enable us this day to grasp something of the depths of who you are so that we might be changed. We pray especially for the fathers amongst us this day that we will understand your fatherhood in such a way that it shapes us as fathers in our homes. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin with Manhood Journey. In preparation for today, I came across the Manhood Journey website and some research that they conducted amongst Christian fathers. They wrote it up under the heading, The 10 Greatest Fatherhood Challenges We Must Face. So I'm going to run through the 10. One, allocating limited time across all my roles. One father said, creating time in my day to love my wife and my kids as well as they needed to be loved, time with each one of them because they all have different needs at different stages of life, plus work, plus everything else. Which leads to point two. Number two, not enough time each day. Again, one father said, spending biblical time with my kids. Seems like I'm running in circles with kids' activities, work commitments, volunteer commitments, etc., etc. Three, improving communications. Quote, connecting with my teenager. Teaching the kids a biblical worldview without exasperating them. Four, being unsure of where to begin. Quote, motivation, get out of a rut. It's easy to just come home, sit on the couch and watch TV. Five, setting the right example. Six, procrastination, that is, worried that it's too late and not worth starting now. Seven, anger and impatience. One father said, speaking without yelling. Eight, being intentional and focused. Quote, feeling disconnected as my kids get older. Nine, leadership. Quote, I'm not the leader my family desires, needs or deserves. And 10, finally, finding common ground. As my kids get older and are less interested in us, I find it difficult to find ways to spend time together. So there's 10 things from some research conducted amongst Christian fathers. I'm sure we as fathers can relate to some, if not all, of these challenges. I should say that the Manhood Journey website offers solutions to these challenges. They have a bunch of resources to encourage fathers, including an online course called The Connected Father. That might be something that our men's Bible study could do together. We should discuss that. I encourage you, fathers, to take a good look at the Manhood Journey website. We need encouragement. We need encouragement. We need prayer. Not only us fathers, but all of us. We need power. Power for change and love. Love to gently nudge us forward. And that's what the Apostle Paul's prayer is all about in Ephesians chapter 3. Here is the context. So if you have the Bible in front of you open, someone got a page number in case you've closed it? 1157. You'll see that chapter 3, verse 1, as on the screen, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." The "for this reason" connects what Paul is about to say with what precedes it. What precedes it is Paul's teaching about the church. If you were here last week, you might remember the church is one new humanity in Christ. The church is the temple of the living God, indwelt by his Holy Spirit. And Paul's about to launch into the application of that truth, but he gets sidetracked. Chapter 3 is a long sidetrack. It's like a parenthesis. You can put it in brackets. When he says, "I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles," it gets him thinking, and he goes into an extended section on his ministry as the apostle to the non-Jewish nations and how God's intention was to save both Jew and non-Jew, Gentile, in Christ and through the proclamation of the gospel. In fact, the church, made up of believers from all over the world, displays God's wisdom. Chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 is too good to skip over, so I've included it. It says, "God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms," the kind of spiritual forces, if you like, "according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." You can tell me what that is? A kaleidoscope. A kaleidoscope produces a kaleidoscope of colours. Colours are many-sided and diversified. This is the word that Paul uses to describe God's wisdom in saving believers from all over the world in Christ Jesus. Men, women, and children from every race, culture, and creed, united in Christ, one new humanity. This is the wisdom of God, the manifold, the kaleidoscope of the wisdom of God on display in a world that is full of divisions. And all of us who are in Christ have access to the true and living God. In Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We can't approach God with freedom and confidence without Christ. Without Christ, we are unforgiven, unwashed, unholy, uncleansed. We are guilty sinners. In Christ, we are sinners who, by the grace of God, have become saints, God's holy people, forgiven and washed and cleansed, acquitted by the blood of Jesus. More than that, we are the adopted children of God. So we can approach him with freedom and confidence as our powerful and loving Heavenly Father. When we think about our human fathers, we might have a bit of a spectrum. At one end of the spectrum, we might have powerful. At the other end, we might have loving, hard, soft. Some of us might have had a father who majored on hard. It was clear who was in charge in the home. Dad was a strong disciplinarian, an authoritarian. Others may have had a softer father, no discipline, more of a mate. Anything goes. Most of us probably had a father that moved up and down that spectrum, hopefully for good reason, hopefully not arbitrarily. Well, Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3 teaches us that God, our Heavenly Father, is both powerful and loving. He is both those things. Let's take a closer look. For this reason, that is, because we can approach God, with freedom and confidence in Christ Jesus. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Every family has a father, goes without saying. It's obvious. Even in our day and age, when the birth certificate says father, donor, a father is still required. God is the ideal Father because he is both powerful and loving. The Apostle kneels before the Father and makes two requests, a prayer for power. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Where do I find power to change, to become a better father, for us to become better people? Not within ourselves. We have limited power. We can make small changes. Wholesale change, life transformation, that's God's business because he is truly powerful. And he works in us. If we are Christian, if we are in Christ, and he in us by his Spirit. When we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord, God graciously gives us the gift of his Spirit, his life-transforming Spirit. This is such an amazing blessing. We should be forever blown away by the fact, by this experience, not just a fact, it's an experience. Christ, verse 17, dwells in our heart through faith. We want to all experience this fullness, I'm sure. You want to experience God's power in your life, in your being, as a person. Then make Paul's prayer your own prayer. We can pray this prayer for ourselves too, for our fathers, for our mum, for one another. We can pray this daily. Hourly, we can pray it in our time of need. Heavenly Father, strengthen me with power through your Spirit that lives in me. There's no limit to our access to our Heavenly Father and his power. There's nothing quite like having unlimited access, to have that pass. You know, up on the Gold Coast, unlimited access to SeaWorld and DreamWorld and Wet n Wild and so on. Unlimited access. Or at a concert. I'm not one for concerts, but maybe someone here has been to a concert and had an unlimited access pass. backstage, meet the band, that kind of thing. VIP pass. Who in their right mind would get an unlimited access pass and not use it? Something would have to go pretty wrong to not use it. You have to be sick or not get there if the plane didn't arrive or something like that, but you'd use it. Well, we have unlimited access to God. Our loving Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, powerful, all-powerful God. We would be crazy not to use that access, or better, enjoy that access as his adopted children, whom he loves. And so a prayer for love, prayer request two. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The reality is that in Christ we are loved. We are loved by Christ. We are loved by our Heavenly Father. Our earthly fathers were imperfect. We fathers are imperfect. And consequently, our love is imperfect. Some of us have experienced a harsh father or an indifferent father, or you're not quite sure what you're going to get, father. And I'm sorry if that's been your experience. And we certainly don't want to be that to our own children. We don't want that to be their experience of us. Thankfully, the God who is almighty is also a loving Heavenly Father. And the reality is, in Christ, we are loved more deeply than we can comprehend. Jesus died for us personally. He died for us. He died for you. He died for me. When we were God's enemies, when we told God to get out of my life, he loved us. When we ignored him, he loved us. When we were completely indifferent to him, he loved us. When we hated him, he loved us. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven and have a fresh start, a life in relationship with God, who made us and loves us and adopts us to be his very own precious children. For all eternity, I might add, life and hope. Paul's prayer is that God's power, God's Spirit, would so work in our inner being that we would be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And again, this is a prayer that would be very good for us to pray for ourselves regularly, daily, hourly, in our time of need. Heavenly Father, help me to understand how much you love me. For love is powerful. Love changes lives. From time to time, I get videos on my Facebook feed from a group called The Dodo. Anyone familiar with The Dodo? Anyone else see these videos? It's of dogs that are neglected, abused, dumped. Awful, you know, in that sense, awful video. It's hard to imagine how cruel humans can be to dogs. But anyway, the Dodo group find dogs in these awful situations. They rescue them. And the process always starts slowly because the dogs have been so badly treated, they don't know what to do with such care and love. But slowly the love that the care and care that the rescuers show start to break down the walls of these mistreated dogs. And the transformation of these dogs from rescued to a loving forever home is unbelievable just in these short little videos. They're very moving videos. These videos show very much show the power of love to transform. And I'm talking about dogs. So how much more the love of God for us, his children, If your walls are up for whatever reason, let God's love in Christ break them down. Please understand how much you are loved by God in Christ. Christ died for you. You can be welcomed into God's family. You can have unlimited access to God and his transforming power and love if you want it. And the same is true for us who are already believers, especially if your Christian life is stagnant, if you feel like you're in a bit of a rut. Pray that God's power will work in you by his Spirit, that you might grasp, deepen in your understanding and experience of God's love for you in Christ. It is a love that surpasses knowledge. It's based on knowledge. We want to deepen in our understanding of how much God loves us in Christ, but it's more than knowledge. It is an experience. We want to know the love of our Heavenly Father deep within. It is this deepening true knowledge of our Father's love in Christ that will transform us as fathers, as people, as family members, as friends, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So we pray, depending on God's power and love. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.